What's going on?
Each and every week.
We took a week off, so not each and every week.
Mostly each and every week.
Mostly, for sure.
For your listening pleasure.
Yeah.
And your edutainment.
Edutainment, for sure. So it's over. It's almost over.
Summer. Or life.
My life is not almost over. Summer. It's almost official.
But I think, you know, you did it well.
No, I did.
Summer's in the bag. Summer was summered.
I summered. I definitely... I think I posted on my social media that I summered the F out of this summer.
Really?
For sure. No question about
it. You curse on your social media?
I put TF.
Okay, that's PG.
Very PG.
Yeah.
So it's over. I don't know if I guess I'm ready for fall.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go back in the house.
Okay. All right. Well, get your butt back in the house then.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay out for the last couple of days of warm weather.
Okay.
I am. So we got summer ending. We've got the Hispanic Heritage Month starting
shout
in the
out.
Month of September. Big Back, shout out to yes. our Latinx people, our Hispanic brothers and sisters who are listening.
Yeah.
We've also got the High Holidays for our Jewish brethren. We appreciate y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Love y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're going to be out. I'm going back in the house. I'm going to pop back out for homecoming. Mm. And then I'm going back in again.
Yeah. Homecoming is going to be a movie.
Yeah. Is that how you feel?
I really do. That's what I expect. We have 2 years of homecoming we need to fit into one weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be lit.
Yeah, and for our newer listeners, we are both HBCU grads.
Sure.
So, HBCU homecomings are a little bit different.
They sure are.
And everybody plans to celebrate however they plan to celebrate.
Yeah, Morgan State University is our alma mater.
Very true.
For those who don't know.
Very true. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about homecoming or fall or any of these things.
Yeah, we're talking about... Fire. There is a fire.
Fire and desire.
Mm.
I've been watching the Rick James documentary.
I didn't know there was
such a thing. It's recently, I think it's like HBO or Showtime.
Yeah.
They've been showing the Rick James documentary. And it's everything that you think it would be. It's just exactly what you think.
What did the hand say to the face?
Listen, like it's a lot of things. And so I don't think anything new was uncovered, anything that I didn't know, but it just made me think even more of Fire and Desire, Rick James and Tina Marie.
Yeah. You were cold as ice.
Yes.
Long ago.
But that's not the fire. Definitely not the Rick James fire. We are not talking about the fire that I believe Rick James were talking about. We are talking about financially independent and retiring early. Fire.
That's a word right
not
there.
Not even Fire Festival for those who watch the Ja Rule and Fat Joe verses. Not that type of fire. This is a real thing that's actually happening that people are doing.
Yeah. Fire is like a movement. It's a quiet movement that more people should know about. There are a number of folks who follow this way of life. Like, it's not like I'm going to try this out for a little bit. Like, this is like a whole way of life, fire.
Yeah. And it's definitely not a subtle thing, right? So you are either in or you are out. This is not something that you could try.
Mm-hmm.
Fire people are extreme.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
They are making extreme decisions in order to retire very, very early. We don't mean 5 years early.
Yeah.
We don't mean 10 years early. We mean like 30 years early.
There are fire people who are retiring at 40, at 37.
Facts.
And they're retiring with substantial sums of money.
Yes. Like, and it doesn't mean they make substantial sums of money either. These aren't people who are just making a lot of money early. These are people who, again, are making very extreme decisions in order to be able to retire early. So while we go through this, understand this is not for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but it may be for some of y'all.
And by the way, it's called financially independent retiring early.
Yes.
F-I-R-E. Not just retire early.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of jokers out here who want to retire early, but they're not financially independent yet. They're not ready yet.
Yes. There's also a lot of people who just don't go to work. And that's not the type of retire early that we're talking about. Again, being financially independent and retiring early, not I just don't go to work.
Yeah, that's a big difference. So here goes some stats. So according to a recent Gallup poll, the average expected retirement today is 66 years old. Okay. If you looked at the same poll in the 90s, the average age was 60.
Oh, we got to work longer. I mean, things trend? Are more expensive. Things yeah. are more expensive.
Now, look, things are more expensive. People are living longer. That's true. But it's not going the other way. Like, there's nobody
He's
on
not
average.
Trending the other way. I also think, though, that's also because people want to work longer. I think probably before you were working these harder, more labor-intensive jobs. And I think there are a lot more work from home, desk jobs, more comfortable jobs. And so you're able to work longer without it having a major impact on your physical body.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So what's encouraging, though, is that there's a small percentage of people, 12%, expect to retire before the age of 59.
Okay.
So some people are actually doing it, I think, pretty well.
Shout out to the 12.
Yeah, 12%. So let's talk about this new movement, financially independent.
First, I want to start by saying it was started by the millennials. Shout out to us.
Y'all finally did something
right. First of all, we're doing a lot right, okay? We are doing a lot right. It's y'all older people that are holding us back, but we are trying. But yeah, millennials started this movement called FIRE, financially independent and retiring early. And as I mentioned, it really means to cut your expenses dramatically to go into extreme save mode and invest aggressively. That is it. That is the thing. These are the things that we're going to talk about today. Cutting your expenses dramatically,
mm-hmm.
saving a lot, not like a lot,
mm-hmm.
like more than half of your check
yeah.
a lot, and investing aggressively.
Yeah. Okay. All three makes fire.
All three makes fire.
Skipping one makes
not fire.
Warm.
Yeah, warm.
Mediocre mild. Results, mild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't be financially independent and retiring early. You might yeah. be one or the other.
You might be.
You won't be all. You might be FI or RE.
Yeah.
But you won't be FIRE.
You might be just independent.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. But
and again, we're not. This is not us pushing a right or wrong. Yeah. Really, this is us talking about a concept that exists and making you guys aware that this is an option. Or you might already be a FIRE. Mm-hmm. You might already be one of these FIRE people.
Yeah.
So the concept of FIRE is based on the notion that retirement is determined by a financial number, not a person's age, right? Like coming up with the number that you need in order to be able to live the rest of your life the way that you want to. It focuses on keeping your expenses low and your savings extremely high. So that means usually saving anywhere between 50 to 70% of your annual income to retire well before the age of 65 and usually without any debt whatsoever.
Wouldn't that be sweet? Like well before?
You know what doesn't sound, I don't know if it's sweet for me. So I'm not a FIRE. I'm not a FIRE person. One, because I like to work, so I don't have any intention on ceasing to earn income anytime soon. But that saving between 50 and 75% of your annual income.
That's a sacrifice.
That's extreme.
Now, if you make a half a million,
yes,
that's
not
so bad. Not
a problem. No problem whatsoever. But if you're making $85,000, you know, that can have a major impact on your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And FIRE people typically live very extreme lifestyles. They oftentimes don't have like a really nice home or an apartment. They might be renting a room to cut back on expenses.
Mm-hmm.
They might be sharing, you know, a very basic space. We've read articles about FIRE people who
dumpster dive
for food. Like they're not willing to spend a lot of money on groceries.
Yo, could you imagine though? I'm sorry. I know we're talking about the pros of FIRE.
Right.
But could you imagine scrimping and saving and dumpster diving and wearing
Here's the thing.
If hand-me-downs and then you don't live a long time.
If you voluntarily dumpster dive, that's who you are. That has nothing to do with FIRE. That has nothing to do with FIRE. That you just, yes, that's something in you that feels comfortable with that. You can go to a local farm, like depending on where you live, there's all types of ways to get inexpensive food. And if in your mind, you've decided that the way that works for you is to hop your ass in a dumpster,
yeah.
that is who you are as a person, financially independent or not.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the show called Extreme Cheapskates?
No.
Yo, there's a whole show, like there's a genre of television of extreme cheapskates.
Are they cheap because they're trying to FIRE or they're just, It's just they're going to be this way for life.
I think it's the latter. It's just certain people that are just extremely frugal. So there's this one episode that cracks me up, right? So this dude is trying to take his wife out for their anniversary. So they go to this restaurant. They, of course, pick a time when it's a buffet happy or it's hour. A happy hour.
Okay. But nothing wrong with that.
They then proceed to, you know, they do little small things like we'll get one cup and we'll both get refills and we'll drink out of one cup. That's sweet. But this is where it went too far for me. My man then goes from table to table seeing if there's any food that folks are not finishing and not taking home.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's who you are as a person. You're not a cheapskate. You are socially inept at that point. Like, that is not, there's something that's about your character. That's not about money and food. So this is, because this is also my question, right? Say you are a dumpster diver voluntarily, or your homeboy who's just begging people for their leftovers during a formal meal. Are you telling me that on your day of retirement, you're now eating fresh food from the grocery store, like, and you're now ordering meals?
I don't think so.
You know what
so.
I mean? Like, is there ever a plan? There's no plan to stop, right? Like, you're, this is who you are. This has nothing to do with money at this point. Yeah.
But let's sell fire, though.
Okay, yes. Because you got us into dumpster diving.
It doesn't require dumpster diving.
Facts.
But again, it starts out with determining your fire number.
Yes.
Right? And the way you do that is you figure out, what are your yearly expenses? Not your yearly income.
Right.
But what does it really, really cost you to live?
Live the way you want to live, right? Like, not, so you, we don't want you living in fire circumstances. Like, the goal for when you retire is to retire well. These fire people are sacrificing now so that they can live better later.
But your fire number, they also want to try to keep it low.
Yeah.
Like, frankly, like, so you start by calculating your fire number. You take your annual expenses. Like a comfortable annual expense number that really includes everything you're going to need for that year. So don't just say, well, my rent is $1,500 and I go to the grocery store for $500 a month, so it's $2,000. Like, no, like your real actual budget that
going
you're going
to
need.
Going out to eat, eating the food that you ordered only.
Yeah. And you then multiply that number by 25. So for instance, if it costs you a legit $50,000 a year to live, FIRE would say, multiply that 50 times 25, that's $1,250,000. Meaning if you can get to the point where you have $1,250,000 saved and invested, you now have enough money to retire, even if you're 45 years old when you get to that number.
And one of the primary factors of this, though, is also paying off your debt. Like, yeah. You don't want to go into your retirement with debt because that's going to raise your annual expenses.
That's exactly right.
And so
right.
The goal is, again, and not also not have any debt, so that it is less expensive for you to live a great life.
That's a fact.
Okay.
That's a fact.
So when you're making the decision to retire early, right? Like, this is, again, this is a commitment. And when we're talking about retiring early, we're not talking about 5 to 10 years. We're talking about 20 years early, 30 years early. You should expect to make some significant lifestyle changes when you commit to this. Again, not to dumpster diving, but you really have to look around and see how low can you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving out of this nice swanky apartment and I'm willing to move into, I'm willing to rent a room from a cousin, right? Like, I know I like a Starbucks situation, but I'm going to be drinking instant coffee from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, fire people typically only drink the coffee at work, like the free coffee.
Lord, yeah.
Yeah, you're
that's,
not.
That's smart.
You're not buying coffee anymore,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You are stealing Splenda from work. And while I'm not a fire person, I do steal Splenda from everywhere.
Oh, you're a crazy person.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I just don't, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And it's free everywhere.
Is it free?
Except in the grocery store.
Is it free to...
Starbucks is free. At our office is free.
Yeah.
So I grab
it's
a handful
every time. It costs
every
the business
time.
Money, but okay.
But we pay into rent.
Yeah.
So
okay. I'm
it's
not mad
for
at you.
Us.
Yeah. But I take napkins. I take...
Why
when I go
to
Chipotle,
napkins?
I get some
car?
Extra forks home.
Yeah. So that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I'm part fire.
That's not... None of this has to do with our early retirement, right? But these changes should be as big as... increasing your streams of income. So it's not also just cutting things back. It's also finding ways to make a lot more money. Things like cutting your own hair. Ladies, you know, like if you're going into fire mode, you better know how to do them box braids yourself. You better not require any weaves that you can't do on your own. You might have to let that relaxer go. You know, like seriously, you might just have to hit it with the clippers. But it comes down to reducing your spending and boosting your saving on an extreme level.
So you just broke down some fire types, and let's go into a little more depth on that. Because
everybody's fire isn't the same. There's like a roaring fire.
Yeah.
Okay. like in the bush, like Jesus, remember in the Bible?
The ram in the bush.
The ram in the bush. In my mind, I wasn't there clearly. That was like a subtle fire or a roaring fire.
Was there a fire at all in that story? I thought
somewhere in the Bible.
I don't think there was a fire.
There's
in that
fire
story.
Somewhere.
Yeah, there was. There was
somebody
gonna be,
saw some fire.
A sacrifice was going to happen. Of
I remember that, but okay. There was a fire somewhere.
And instead of sacrificing, there was a ram in the bush that you,
yeah.
Instead of killing your kid. So whatever. But
okay, we're not
either
there.
Way.
But there are fire types, so please don't feel like every fire has to be the same. But so let's first. There's lean. Mm-hmm. Not the drug substance.
Oh my God. Nobody's thinking
that. Everybody's thinking that. It's the first thing I thought about. When you think about lean nowadays, what do you think about? Lean back?
Like this, again,
you do not think about that. You think about the drug substance.
You do.
Okay. Well, for those similar to me, we're not talking about that type of lean. So the lean type is to drastically slash expenses and live a more frugal and lean lifestyle. Which again, it's the quickest way to fire. It is known as lean fire. This means having a lower target number for your nest egg and living more modestly in retirement. So to make more sense of that, like, yes, you are doing all the fire things, you're cutting back on everything, but you also don't plan to live an extravagant life in retirement either, right? Mm-hmm. So like we mentioned earlier, if you're a dumpster diver, you probably plan on staying a dumpster diver in retirement. You know what I mean? Like you don't plan on retiring and doing it big. Your plan is to stay living a semi-lean lifestyle in retirement, just one that doesn't require you to have to go to work anymore.
That's lean.
That's lean. Why am I firing to have a lean fire? Like, why am I making all this huge sacrifice now to only get a little bit of benefit later?
The trade-off is that perhaps you really don't like going to work every day. Like, you hate it. Like, it's killing you. Like, you're in an industry you don't like, job you don't like.
And maybe you just don't require a lot to live. Is that maybe that's
it?
Yeah,
you just
naturally you're minimalist.
You're trading off a quality of life issue. Like, I either work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, which is eating into my quality of life, or I have a more modest retirement that might actually be good in exchange for my free time.
That's true. And also, if we're thinking about from a financial perspective, maybe you plan on living abroad in an area that is relatively inexpensive compared to the cost of living in the United States. And so maybe you already know up front, I'm not going to need a lot of money to survive. I'm going to be on the beach eating coconut and catching fish or something like
That's a low cost.
That's a low cost. Right, that would drive me to, okay, I can understand a lean fire.
Yeah.
For that.
More money, more problems. So less money, less problems. They might think of it that way.
That's a way to think. No one's made that song, but no one's thinking about it that way. But and again, if you're just naturally a more simple person, like, listen, I don't require a lot. So let me just get to the point where I can just, this is going to be me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how people fire with kids. I don't know if you can fire with kids.
You probably can. You just assume that they probably, it's probably not convenient.
It's not convenient.
But you could probably still fire with kids.
But can you retire extra early if you got kids?
If you cut them off.
Damn.
Yeah.
At 10? When you gonna cut them off? At 8 years old?
Maybe like 18 and a half.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fire.
Some people have kids early, so they could be 38 years old with a kid in college. So
facts. So yeah,
tell the kid get your own student loans.
If you had your kid at like 13.
No, if you had them at 18.
Nope, 13. If you had your kid at 13.
Here you go.
Right? By 18, you're 31. You are just now hitting that stride. You're just getting sexy. Like, so you can fire.
Okay.
If you had your kid at 13.
Okay, fine.
13, 14.
Yeah, that's.
31, 32.
That's rare. There's probably trauma involved in that story, but go on.
Triumph. It's triumph.
Okay.
Involved.
Okay.
You retire and you're out. Okay, so we are talking about FIRE,
yes.
Financially independent and retiring early. Special group of people out here who are really doing this.
Sure are.
Stick with us as we continue to talk about the different types of FIRE. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Ghani Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
All right. FIRE.
Yes.
FIRE and desire.
It's burning in here.
It's not, but I don't like the phrase "it's burning." That's just not a good phrase. I think that can be traumatizing for people.
The roof
is on fire.
Have you ever been in a party where they...
We've done that. I'm old enough for that. I'm old enough for that.
Because I'm not old enough for that.
I am. I don't need no water. Let the burn.
Yeah, burn. Yeah, I've never been in that party.
Yeah, House parties party ain't been popping.
It was a good movie, but I've never been there.
I've definitely had one of those. Okay. So in FIRE, we were talking about the different types of FIRE.
Yep.
And before we went to break, we talked about the lean FIRE.
Mm-hmm.
Next is the fat FIRE.
Break down the fat FIRE.
First of all, I like the way this sounds.
This is Tiffany's FIRE right here.
I just like the way fat FIRE sounds.
I'm a fat FIRE.
Why do I want a FIRE if it ain't gonna be fat?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want a little ass fire.
Okay.
So this is for people who are interested in pinching pennies and having higher than average expenses, but can still retire by increasing their income, right? Mm-hmm. So some ways to achieve fat FIRE are getting higher salaries, finding a higher paying job, working a side hustle, owning rental properties, like making money on the side. Right? Like finding ways. Maybe you're also just working in a higher paying profession. Maybe you've determined I am going to get my doctorate so that I can be in a higher paying profession so that I am making top tier money out the gate so that I can get out as quickly as possible.
That's fat FIRE.
That's fat FIRE.
That's your type of FIRE.
I like that. Yeah, because I don't know how much.
Because you're not trying to scrimp that much on your expenses.
You know what I mean? Like, I cut back on some things.
Yeah.
But like, nah, I'm not cutting my own hair. Well, that's not true. Because I've been thinking about that in the last couple of weeks.
I've cut my own hair since age 15.
But you're not a FIRE. You know what I mean?
I might be.
You're far from a FIRE. I know you. You are far from a FIRE.
I might be like a fat
no
FIRE more than a lean
definitely
FIRE.
Definitely not.
But whatever.
Yeah. So fat FIRE focuses on, I'm not really cutting back that much. I'm just going to make as much money as humanly possible. I'm going to make way more than I actually need. And I'm going to put all of that money aside. I'm going to invest that money aggressively so that I can retire early.
That's great.
Can you imagine, like, if you're a doctor and you are a FIRE doctor?
Okay.
And so you're like, listen, I'm going to do 10 years in this profession and I'm out. Not even. I'm going to do 5 years. Because it takes a while to actually become a doctor, I feel like.
Okay.
I'm going to do 5 years hard body in this profession and I'm out. You know how pissed your patients would be? Like, if you've only been my doctor. You know what I mean? Like, someone's like, you know what?
I'm 36 years old and I'm out.
And I'm out. Or like, I hate helping you people. Like, I hate being y'all's doctor and I can't wait to get out of here. And I'm willing to eat oodles of noodles every night to never have to see y'all's asses again.
That's FIRE.
That's FIRE.
That's FIRE. So the final FIRE type
Here we go.
Is the barista fire.
Barista fire.
Did I say it wrong?
Barista fire.
I never worked. Yo, can I just tell you, I don't know how to order Starbucks. I'd be like, what's the middle one?
See, so let me just let y'all know. I was a former barista at Starbucks. Okay. I know all the terms and I know how to make all the drinks.
I think a barrister is a lawyer. I think that's what I was saying. So not barrister.
No, a barista.
A barista.
Which I was a barista at Starbucks.
So in this scenario, you quit your full-time job once you've reached enough of a number where you've got a nice nest egg that's growing. But then you get to the point where you take a lower paying job and you don't factor in saving anything more for retirement. So imagine you're that doctor, mm-hmm. right? You work for those 5 years, a little light, because you've been in medical school
That's
for like
saying.
Such a long
That's
time.
That's extreme
you
should at least, fire. Yeah. That's extreme fire.
Okay, but let's just say you're a doctor and you work for like, let's say, I don't know, 15 years?
That's
can
not,
I can I get 15
fire.
Years?
That's not a fire.
If you became a doctor at like 27.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out by
you're
32.
40. Okay.
32, I'm out.
All right. But imagine you then switch professions. Okay, you've saved aggressively. You've saved 50% of your pay every year for those years.
Yes.
Okay, and now you've run the math and you know that by the time you get to a real retirement age, 65 or 60 or what have you, you'll have $1.5 million, $2 million, $3 million, enough to be comfortable at that point. And so now you can take your foot off the gas a little bit and stop being a doctor and now go work as a barista.
Barista.
Or just in a lower paying job that you enjoy, a job that you're not in for the money because you've already got the money saved.
Yeah, I think this is a more moderate level of fire. I think this is one that I think more people will be comfortable with. So as Alan mentioned, you are working or you're making as much money as humanly possible, or you're, you know, cutting expenses aggressively until you get a nest egg of a certain amount, right? Yeah. And that nest egg gets invested in a way, as you mentioned, due to compound interest and what have you, you know, by the time you really, really, really don't want to do anything, it's going to be at your fire number,
mm-hmm.
right? So once you get that nest egg, though, say you get that nest egg around 32, 35, you don't stop working. You just do something like just enough to cover your expenses. You're no longer contributing to that nest egg. It's sitting, it's investing, it's growing. That is compound interest. If you don't know what we're talking about, please listen to Where the Money Resides. Mm-hmm. That will help explain how this is absolutely possible for you to save $500,000 and by retirement have well over $1 million, $2 million. But once you get that nest egg, 32, 35, you just decide to just do something
different.
Super different and light enough for you to just cover your expenses. I'm not contributing to my nest egg anymore. I'm just making enough to live and get by and mind my business. The barista fire.
Yeah, we have a client like that. This is a person who worked in management and worked his way up the totem pole, and it was stressful. And he's like, you know what? My real dream is to be a freelancer. And I want to, you know, take on projects. And I don't want to have to earn so much money that I'm in a career that I hate anymore. So I'm just, you know, I've worked my years. I've saved enough. If this continues to grow, I'll be okay at retirement age. But right now I'm going to just pursue my dream. And that's a barista fire.
Okay. I don't know why this is labeled barista, but.
Because you could go work at Starbucks as a barista.
You can go cut hair. Like, it's a number of things.
Okay, but they had to label it something.
Something. And barista is what
you want it to be? Bartender fire?
I'm just saying, it could have been, we got lean, fat, and then barista. Like, they have nothing to do with each other. So I just think, you know, some consistency
would
have been
it?
Helpful.
What would you name it then? Lean, you know, fat, and what?
Thick.
It's not thick. There's nothing thick about it.
It's not lean, and it's not fat. When you're not skinny or fat, you're thick. Thick fire.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
All right. Barista thick. That could be a new saying. Oh, she's barista thick.
No, okay. And then no one would know what that means. But again, it should be like a thick fire. Okay. Now, here are common success factors.
And this is despite which fire you are, really.
It's up to you to determine how you're going to fire. But these are success factors for people who are on this fire path. You have to live well below your means. Like, this is not, hey, I'm just going to set a budget and stick to it. Like, you've got to cut all of your costs aggressively. you really also want to focus on how to just remove certain expenses altogether, right? So not like, hey, I'm gonna start going to Supercuts. Like, hey, I'm gonna just never get another haircut for the next 10 years.
Or instead of having a car, maybe I get an apartment or rent a room
next to my job
and I can walk to work.
Right. Cause we're not even doing public transportation like that. You are, again, extremely cutting expenses. Again, moving close to your job, selling your car altogether, and biking. Buying a bike.
That's an expense. Maybe we just walk.
I mean, it's a one-time expense, though. Okay? Maybe you got a free bike on Craigslist.
There you go. Okay. That's fire.
There you go.
So in COVID world, in post-COVID world, there's a huge opportunity for folks to move to different cities.
Seriously.
That have a significantly lower cost of living, especially if you can work from home. And a lot of folks are continuing to work from home.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who had to work in these major metropolitan cities to keep their really great high-paying jobs. Now that working remotely is a lot more common, you can move to the Midwest. You can move to an extremely rural area. For some people, you can move overseas where, as Alan mentioned, the cost of living is extremely, extremely low. Even if you're still making that really high or great salary, that is a great opportunity for you to fire.
Yeah, so it's cutting expenses down majorly. It might include getting a roommate. It might include not doing any restaurants at all, but really learning how to cook and just spending money at the grocery store.
Yeah. So also a really key point to all of this, which I don't think we focus on much, is you are actually heavily invested. Like, you want, not only do you want to be saving money, but you want your money to be growing and working on your behalf. And so you are very serious about being well invested.
I think in addition to investing a lot, FIRE people also want to invest in low cost vehicles as much as possible. And we're definitely on board with that. By investing in lower cost vehicles, it just means that there's more of your money to grow. Like, there's more compounding that's in your favor as opposed to having a lot of money go out in fees.
Yes, FIRE people are also definitely buy and hold investors.
Facts.
They are not dipping into their investments for any reason. They want all the compound interest. They are all about the Warren Buffett strategy, letting their money sit and work and not touch it until they are ready to retire and actually use it.
Yeah, that's a fact. Because if you are constantly moving in and out of investments, particularly in a brokerage account that's not a retirement account, you're now putting yourself in a position where you have to pay taxes. Like, that, those taxes are taking away from your wealth over time. It's hurting your compounding.
Now, some more superficial things, okay, around firing. Maybe when you go grocery shopping, you know, you look for the fruit that's about to be thrown away. Maybe you ask, you know, like, they throw produce away after a while because it's starting to brown, it's starting to like not look as appealing. Maybe you have some sort of arrangement where you get those items for free or less money. Again, we talked about walking to work, biking to work. A lot of y'all do this and have no plan for retirement. You're borrowing other people's Netflix passwords so that you don't have to pay for access to entertainment and television.
I just loaned out my Hulu password today, just today. To one of my best friends.
Then I know your friends, and they all got jobs.
Yeah, he was in a little bit of a medical bind, and he's on ice for a while,
and so he can't.
I couldn't get to go see him, so at least I could do is let him borrow.
This sounds like a very trifling dynamic. I'm just gonna say this right now. There's no medical situation that leads you to need to borrow someone's Hulu password.
Well, the medical situation is that the new season of Wu-Tang is out.
Exactly, exactly.
And my cousin's in that joint, by the way. He plays
Ghostface
Killer,
by the way. Shout out to your cousin. But was this person like, listen, that's the only thing I plan on watching, and I don't think it's enough for me to pay for my own membership?
Yeah, I'm like, look, I've been trying to go visit him. I have not been able to. He's been sick. And I'm like, look, what can I do to help? He's like, you know, can I use your Hulu? I'm like, yeah.
This is petty.
Absolutely.
This is petty on a different level. Petty's not the word that I actually want to use. The word that I actually want to use is not appropriate.
What's the word?
This is some... I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
But if you are one of Alan's friends and he owes you a visit, just instead ask to borrow a password for any of his online entertainment systems, and he will gladly give that to you. But fire people tend to not pay for their own entertainment, and so they borrow their friends' passwords. They probably also borrow Wi-Fi, like, from their neighbors.
Remember back in the day, people would try to steal cable? Like, they would try to run a little splice thing. That was fire. That was, like, the precursor to fire was stealing cable.
These are not fire things, okay? This is just being trifling.
People use the Fire Stick to bootleg television. That's fire.
Yeah, that's just trying to circumvent the system. Listen, whatever. Okay, there are people who are doing fire things without fire intention.
Yeah.
That's your business. But if you are really focused towards your fire path, these are some of the things that people are doing. They're taking on freelance work,
yep,
right, to bring in extra income to put towards that nest egg.
Yeah, some of them are not sacrificing completely. They might splurge on a box of wine every now and then.
Splurge on a box of wine. I mean, I guess whatever's going to get you through. Maybe you need to be a little drunk to get through a fire lifestyle. And so a box of wine here and there might be what you need, I guess. If you are taking food out of the dumpster or begging from consumers in a restaurant, I guess the least you could do is buy yourself a box of wine.
Every now and then. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe you're also, like, especially if your parents are still alive, maybe you go to your mother's house every day for food. Like, you know she's cooking. Mm. So instead of you buying your own food or instead of you cooking, like, you're always going to a friend's house. Maybe they know, like, Mondays you're at Keisha's house, Tuesdays you're at my mom's house. Like, so you have a system so that you don't ever have to pay for your own food and you are constantly eating other people's food. Again, your fire can feel borderline trifling. Like, it can feel that way. You might want to just be very transparent with the people around you around what you're doing. Otherwise, they will be talking about you behind your back for sure.
Or it could be a beautiful thing. Like, imagine that your fire involves potluck dinners frequently.
But you have to bring something to a potluck
dinner. Yeah, I'll bring some brown bananas from the grocery store that I got for free.
Okay. Can you date on a fire, on the path of fire? Like, can you meet somebody new while you're firing and have a robust relationship? I'm just curious. Because you're not, especially as a guy.
I think that's difficult.
As a guy, yeah, I'm not taking you on any dates. I'm not paying. I'm not taking you on any dates that require payment. So we can do a lot of walks in the park. We can collect cans together. Like, I don't, how do you date in a fire? Because I would imagine firing strong and then you meet somebody, it can knock you out of your fire.
Here's how you do it. For one, you cannot tell this woman what you do for a living. Like, I go to work. If I'm a lawyer and I'm making six figures and now I'm extremely cheap.
And I won't buy you coffee.
Yeah.
And I only bring you coffee after I get off work.
All right. So you start by telling her that you work for a nonprofit.
See, if you're starting off lying, then you cannot date and fire.
Yes, you can. All right. So you start by lying about what you do for a living.
So the second thing that you do. I think if you, all of your dates happen during the workday. Like, in that, like, on days, you know, like, in our office sometimes, it's like ice cream day or pizza day where the office provides lunch.
Mm, okay.
So that's when you have your...
Shorty over.
Yeah, your lunch.
Take your lunch.
Yeah.
I'll come here. Meet some my exactly. coworkers, my colleagues.
Exactly.
Showing her off.
Right.
All right, that's a fire.
She can have all the coffee she wants, use mm-hmm. all the Splenda she'd like.
Mm-hmm.
The food is there. It's available. It's free.
Well.
But what if, you know, she's like, why don't I ever see you at night?
Okay, so then at night, you take her for a long walk. You know what I'm saying?
It's winter.
You don't really date like that. By winter,
you
y'all are
locked in?
Doing Netflix and chill at her crib.
Okay, her
on
crib.
Her Netflix account. Damn. Okay? You cook some food, you know what I'm saying? Like, at your crib, you brought it over. Okay?
Some of these brown bananas.
You mix that in, you turn that into pancakes. You know, banana pancakes.
Right.
Let's have breakfast for dinner, you know?
But does fire even allow you to cook for two people?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can. That's how you find love in a fire situation. It can
maybe
be done.
Maybe you can convince her to fire.
Maybe.
Maybe that's how you build a strong relationship. You bring her to your side of things. Instead of lying and trying to convince her that you are living a normal lifestyle, you try to bring her into the fire. Then it's really fire and desire.
But real facts. Let's say you're dating a guy and he's being extremely frugal and he tells you why. Okay. And y'all have been struggling through these situations.
Here's
already.
The thing. If you tell me why, I'm probably fine with it.
But let's
if
say
you don't tell me and shit is just weird all the time, then I'm not with it. But if you tell me up front, I'm probably cool with it.
Y'all sit at the restaurant. He's like, well, let me get two waters.
Here's
and
the thing,
unlimited
though,
breads.
We're not both firing. So you could sit there and watch all you want. I'm ordering my food, my glass of champagne. I'm doing all my things. Just like I can't.
Do they have box champagne we could maybe compromise on?
You can look into that. Just like I don't judge you for firing. You can't judge me for not firing. So like, thank you for letting me know. I respect what you're trying to do. I'm not on fire. So.
But imagine this. Imagine you're dating the fire guy and he's being extremely frugal. He's explained it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he shows you his bank account. He's got like $1 million in there.
Go you.
Are you going to feel more upset knowing that he's got plenty of money? He's just not willing to spend it on you?
No, I understand what you're doing. Like you, the only reason you have plenty of money is by living the way that you're living. So I don't want to knock that off track at all. Okay. But I'm not on fire. So we can hang out and we can kick it. But I am going to do what I'm going to do in the same vein that you are going to do what you want to do. So I'm going to order the snapper and the shrimp. And I guess you will eat whatever I don't eat afterwards with a lot of water and free bread. But I wouldn't have a problem with a fire if you told me up front that you were firing.
Okay.
So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
Still talking about fire.
Fire.
Financially independent and retiring early. I know we're making a lot of jokes, but seriously, people, there are people out here who are really doing this. You can Google this. You will hear stories about how people are able to retire in their 20s, in their 30s, and live the exact life that they want to live by making some of these extreme decisions. Even if they're not like dumpster diving or whatever, again, we are making light of some things, even though we are being very honest and serious. So this may be something that's for you, or again, you can barista fire. Maybe, you know, the fat fire might work for you.
Lean fire.
Listen, lean, sure. Lean fire. But thick I think fire. This is a concept worth knowing. It's fast. Working for people. And I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and maybe you borrow some of this stuff. Maybe you don't completely fire. But look, if you borrow only some, you can't.
You're not firing.
You can't claim that I'm
fire. You're not on fire.
Yeah, you could, you know, have a small, you know, a match.
Listen, maybe you, I don't know, maybe you're just being responsible. Who knows? But you're not on fire unless you're all in, like, 10 toes down.
Yo, I have a real good friend, right? He's in the medical field. And he absolutely does not like his job. And I said, dude, if you're willing to make some dramatic changes, you can get out of this field. It's just that you've got to be willing to make those changes. And I'll tell you, for a lot of people, they're not able to make those changes because they've gotten accustomed to things. They might have a spouse that's not on the same
and
page.
Because I think I know who this friend is, ain't going to be no fire around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His best bet is maybe a fat fire.
Yeah, because he likes nice things.
He really does.
He likes luxurious vacations and high-end alcohol. Ain't gonna be no box wine for that friend.
That's a fact. So let's break down a budget. This was a sample
budget.
An article that we read about a black woman in Seattle who's an attorney who makes $150,000 a year. And you'll be shocked at what her budget is.
So I'm telling you, for this one, I think this is a bit easier for people, right? Like some people can live on $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year. So making $150,000, you're putting away over $100,000 a year and investing it? You gonna be on fire.
Yeah, that's a fact. So she probably, you know, net of taxes, she's probably walking home out of 150, maybe like 90K.
Yeah.
Let's just say that, right? So 60,000 of her money goes into saving and investments. So 2/3 off the top gets saved and invested.
Of her net income.
So she's living on like $30,000 a year, which is like $2,500 a month. And people were shocked when this article came out and this budget was posted. People could not believe that someone could make 150 but spend 2,500. So here's how she spends it. She spends 850 on rent.
That's not bad. If you're renting like a room.
She has a roommate.
And a roommate. So you have a $1,700 apartment. That's not bad.
Okay. $75 on groceries for the month.
She either not eating or
maybe she goes on a lot of dates and the dudes are
I didn't want to add that element to the fire, right? But I know my ladies who are listening were thinking the same thing. You know, y'all know. Sometimes you go on dates just for the free food. So maybe you are, this isn't a barista fire. I think this is like a different type of a highly social fire, but you are going out on several dates in order to cut back your own personal expenses.
Mm-hmm. She spends $50 on restaurants for the month.
Okay, so she's $75 on groceries and she's still eating out. Okay.
$50 in a month. I mean, that's basically like $10, not even $10, a little more than $10 a week.
This is extreme for Alan because Alan eats out a lot, but you think a dollar menu. So
why are you throwing me into this?
Because you eat out a lot.
You do too.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You order out.
I eat more than you, but you eat out.
Most people. Okay. Either way, I know
I'm not on trial here. Okay.
You're the only one getting defensive here. But like, do they still have dollar menus? Like at Wendy's and McDonald's, do these still exist, dollar menus?
They've got like the 2 for $5 menu now.
Oh, so, okay.
And
I don't know.
They got like a low price menu, but it's not just not a dollar.
Yeah, maybe it's things like that. Again, she's probably going on a lot of dates. You don't know this as a man, but if you go to the grocery store with a guy, you can get a couple of your items in the basket.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if
so,
he's
I
like,
should go with a guy.
No, I don't know what you're. Listen, you got to do. You have to be. He has to be interested in you. But if you like, if a guy's like, oh, you know, after I leave work today, I'm gonna hit the grocery store. And you're like, so this is how it goes, right? Like, oh, after I get off work, I gotta hit the grocery store. Or like, what are you doing this weekend? I'm gonna go to the grocery store in the morning, and then maybe we can get up. You say, I'll go to the grocery store with you, and then we can do something together afterwards. Mm. You can get 5 items easily.
But do you
into this basket?
But is he looking at you like, you know, you owe me something?
Listen, it depends on the type of dude that he is. Like, okay? That's on you to figure out what you're willing to do.
Because if I could smash off groceries, I'm just saying, like, I'm doing great.
That's
like you could put the bread in the bag, but you know,
I don't know the type of guy.
We're gonna have to holler at you later.
But again, okay.
Okay, so she spends $50 at restaurants, only about $20 on gas, and $20 on electricity. Like, she's probably sitting in the house. Either,
it's in Seattle? It gets cold in Seattle.
She's either sitting in there with the lights dim, with mad sweaters on, or maybe she's, like, spending a lot of time at the library or sitting in public spaces.
This part is hard to believe because she has a roommate. So unless her roommate is fire also, like, if I'm your roommate while you're firing, that's great. But I'm going to have the lights on. I'm going to have the TV on.
Maybe they have solar.
I got the internet.
They might have solar. I don't know.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, you see, there's no money being spent on entertainment. Like, she's not going to the movies. She's not paying for Netflix.
Yeah. She's not paying for it.
Okay, but yeah, she's got zero in the budget for
that. I feel like lawyers, I'm not a lawyer, but I know I have friends who are lawyers. They have like fun activities, you know what I mean? Like little lawyer meetups, lawyer cocktail events. And the spread is usually nice. So she's probably getting a lot of things from her legal social life. She's making it work. Sis is making it work. But she's also making sure that she's on fire and she will be able to retire really early.
So she's doing really well. So if she's living on 30K, her fire number is $750,000. So let me give you the math on this. So she's making 150 a year. She's saving 60K per year. And she's living on just $30,000 a year.
Okay.
Her fire number is 30 times 25, which is $750,000. Meaning if she can get to this number, she'll be able to live for the rest of her life without working ever again, assuming that that money is invested in growing, okay? So if you're saving $60,000 a year, you're earning a rate of return of just 7%, you'll have $750,000 in how long? What would you guess?
I'm going to say in 7 years?
10 years.
10 years.
So she can become a lawyer, work hard from, let's say, 27 to 37, and then be out the game. Like, that's a pretty good situation to be in.
Yeah.
It took a few years of sacrifice, but 10 years, and this lady is set for life.
But here's the thing. We keep saying, like, it takes a few years of sacrifice, but if it sounds like she's living her whole life in sacrifice, if she still has to live off of the $30,000 in retirement, true. Right?
But what
you
if
you can't have a roommate into your 70s? When you're old, you need the heat on. Like, you can't be playing around with your health like that.
Okay. All right. What if she does this then? What if she instead quits her lawyer job and then becomes
barista-fire.
A barista?
I like the barista fire.
Making $35,000 a year net of taxes.
I like the barista fire.
Her investments are continuing to grow. She might set herself up for a damn near a fat fire.
Sure.
So look, we've talked a ton about fire. You know, look, we've given the shade. I think we've been a little shady. But the positive is, again, that trade-off. Like, if you can get those years back where you don't have to report into work, you don't have a boss on your neck, like, it might be worth it for somebody. And I think we can certainly learn from these fire stories, even if we don't go full fire.
Yeah, I think, again, as Alan mentioned, we've been having a good time. That we have been honest about stories that we've read about people who live a fire lifestyle. But, you know, you don't have to take this on. We're not saying this is right or wrong. It really just depends on your personal dynamic, what you want for yourself, what you're capable of. But maybe all of this is just too extreme for you. I know it's too extreme for me, you know, and so maybe you walk away with taking some of these things and incorporating them into your life to maybe retire early or not, but just to have more money set aside, to be more financially independent. Maybe you're not interested in the retiring early portion, but you really are interested in being financially independent earlier in life, right? Yeah. And so some of these things might spark your interest, may intrigue you. So I think it's worth, I'm glad that we talked about it.
Hopefully someone got some ideas from today because we didn't explore all the ideas.
So Alan, what ideas did you get from today? And we've talked about this before, but you know, it's new for our listeners. So what ideas did you get from today? What are you considering doing differently?
So I could require my wife to cook more food at home so that I don't have to eat out so much.
Okay.
I come home and just put my foot down.
I wasn't going to lean into the I'm going to require her. Because when you said it, it caused me to twitch a little bit. So I have a funny story about that type of language. So I was previously married to a person. I think we all know that. And this person literally was the nicest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. When it came to language and how we spoke to each other, was always extremely respectful and loving, right? So that wasn't an issue. But one day on the phone, we were talking about moving. We were in the process of moving and we were just talking through the logistics. And he said, and looking back on it now, it was probably innocently, but he said, what I'm going to need for you to do is, and I blacked out. Nothing he said after. He could have said, what I'm going to need for you to do is breathe. But that's not
how you say it.
In women's language, so things like I'm going to require her and what I'm going to need for
First
you to
all,
do is.
I was being funny.
Right? Like that leads to. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really fire. Okay. It's really going to be some fire.
I could make a strong suggestion.
You know, I like that.
I could withhold.
I'm just the last lesson of the day in the world of fire. Statements like what I'm going to need for you to do. I'm telling you,
don't
you should have seen my face.
What can I ask? Do you remember what he required or did you just black out at that point?
So I don't remember, but it wasn't anything harsh. It wasn't anything harsh.
Yeah.
It's just the way, it's like how he started the call.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we were talking and then that happened. It was like,
hello?
Hello. So hey, so what I'm going to need for you to do is,
ooh.
Right.
I'm going to try that with you on our next
don't
call.
Listen. Then you
I'm
don't want
try.
It to be much of a call.
I just want to see what happens.
Listen.
Give it a shot. I'll record it. I'll do it on Zoom and, you know, we'll put it on Twitter.
Listen,
have some fun with it.
It's safer for you to live a fire lifestyle than to try to talk to people like that. But either way, we have talked about fire, financially independent, and retiring early. And hopefully, again, you've walked away with either learning something new or having just a good time on the show today.
I love it.
We will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Show.